You're listening to CFRA Live with Andrew Pinsent on News Talk 580 CFRA and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Welcome back. 10:07. It is so cold. Update. More to come later. Feeling like minus 38 this morning out there. Make sure you're bundled up if you are heading outside. Just to reiterate one more time. Also, just getting a couple of notes here. We've got at least one call here about an accident on the 417 eastbound at the Nicholas exit. I should say. Both lanes blocked. Paramedics, fire, and police on scene. Also seeing another text here that's saying traffic really backed up at Nicholas eastbound. So best to avoid that area if you can. Once again, that's eastbound, the 417, the Nicholas exit. Tough to get around once you're stuck there, given that spot. But maybe if you can squeak off down towards Lee's Avenue there and make your way up the other way. That might be best right now. But avoid the eastbound exit on the 417 at Nicholas right now because there is an accident that is backing traffic up. Not great timing either because just 8 minutes ago, we launched the first official outdoor Winterlude activity here in Ottawa in the 3 years. The National Ice Carving Competition officially getting underway just at 10 o'clock. Snowflake Kingdom and some other outdoor events set to get going at noon today. It's been delayed a little bit of a start because of the extreme cold. Yesterday's events completely wiped out by the extreme cold. So good to see everything back to resuming today, starting at noon. But with that kickoff of the National Ice Carving Championship getting off at this hour as well. Just seeing that traffic update to the camera here. Thank you to Ted Raymond from CTV. Just seeing an image here. And yeah, oh boy. The off-ramp at Nicholas is completely blocked and traffic is just a nightmare. Right now. 417 eastbound at Metcalf, the right lane's closed. 417 eastbound on ramp at Metcalf, right lane and right shoulder are also closed right now. So, if you're avoiding downtown or if you're driving downtown, maybe just turn around and go home. No, I'm kidding, but you're going to want to find another way around at this point right now. Also, with Wellington Street closed right now, that makes this even more difficult, but that's conversation for another day, Mitch Kudrowski. I'm wondering, I've given you, 4 hours now? Man, this is a long show. Anyway, I've given you 4 hours now. It's so cold, blank.
I already gave. I've given
you the best ones? Those were your best ones.
That was my best.
That's your gold. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I'm so cold.
It's still better than.
I'm shivering like a mobster in a tax center. The IRS is coming for me.
You know, it's funny. It's just like I say that to you, but I still haven't come up with a good one.
Yeah,
some of the best ones that have come in so far have been the politics ones. There's been, I have to scroll back to find it.
There's been some pretty crude ones. We can't say.
Well, just like, you know, it's so cold. Pierre Poilievre and Justin Trudeau are now sharing an electric blanket, right? Stuff like that. You know,
it's a good
it
image.
Brings people together. That's what we want here, most of the time. Hold on. Wanted to get to actually a few more texts here on this. The Chinese weather balloon story, which I just find fascinating on so many levels, but lots of reaction to this now this morning. Can't they send a drone with spray paint or something to disable as much as they can from the balloon? That's what I was kind of thinking, too. Now, I was seeing this morning that Canada is saying they know that there's no weapons on board. One would assume the Pentagon knows the same thing. So it sounds like they might have a general idea of the technical capabilities, but maybe not more the specifics. But for me, you know, everybody rallying up around kind of shooting it down, which I just, very American. Go out there with your handgun. Just shoot it down. What are we waiting for? Wouldn't you want to capture this? Don't you want to see what's going on?
One of my favorite things in terms of shooting it down is seeing sort of the Republican base being posting pictures online of them with their guns and being like, I'm shooting it down. Like the Republican.
I'm going to do it myself.
The Trump-backed nominee for Arizona, Kerry Lake, who's kind of teasing a Senate run in Arizona. They tweeted a photo the other day, or I think it was pretty recently, of them with the old scatter gun out, like they're about to shoot clay pigeon or something, and it says, I'm told there's a balloon that needs to be taken care of. And then Paul Gosar, who is also an Arizona Republican and a dentist, responded with a photo of him with what looks to be like a handgun, like a Glock, some kind of an autoloader, and it's like, are you really going to hit it at 60,000 feet? I don't know. It just cracks me up.
With any excuse, right? I guess to pull it out, but I don't know. Just the idea that, yeah, why, why blow it up? Why not capture it, see what's out there type thing? But I do kind of find it funny. Just shoot it down. There was a couple, I will say, there was just seeing a few interviews yesterday. There was a couple respected kind of expert voices that I tend to gravitate towards. One of those, Richard Haass, he's the president of the Foreign Relations Council, but he had said that he thought they should have shot it down as well. But he also said in conjunction with that they should have kept the meeting going with Beijing. So I thought that was an interesting take as well, was, yeah, they should show it down to let us know we're not playing around. But also, they should have went to that meeting, which I find very interesting as well. But lots of takes on this. No matter
the
what.
Onions had some fantastic takes
what
on
was
this.
What was the Onion headline?
The Onion's headline about this was Nation Surrenders to Chinese Balloon. If you look it up on The Onion and read the article, it's hilarious. I was crying when I read it the other day.
Yeah, it's a very serious tone.
They say, bowing down before the floating intruder mere hours before it entered the American airspace. Obviously, satire, but...
Yeah, obviously as well. And Charles texting here, much as I respect Mr. Katsuya's opinions, lower altitudes allow greater detail, certainly as opposed to satellites. The problem with the SR-71 and others was that they could be shot down once long-range missiles were developed. Seems to be a solution. Low cost, and who cares if it goes off course? Just send another one. Surprised it took this long to happen. Yeah, it is low cost. We were talking with Rob Thacker about that in the Science Wire. On that aspect of it was, you know, China has a bunch of spy satellites. Why not just, why use something so primitive? And there are a few reasons. Is it easier to kind of attach some of this technology and getting more detail and stuff like that?
Just plausible.
From Charles' point, yeah. Just
plausible deniability too, right?
That's a good point.
What? Yeah. Just when, of course, the wind took it. The wind carried it. It was the wind.
Very interesting to hear, actually, Michelle Katsuya's opinion that... Just the kind of three options at play here. And one of them being that, you know, someone even within China is kind of trying to mess up relations here because this is so bad. Like, in a sense of, like, how does this happen? How do you let this happen, right? It's embarrassing for, I don't know. I think it's more embarrassing for the U.S., but as Katsuya said, the Republicans at the border are going to try to make it as embarrassing for U.S. President Joe Biden as possible, too. You know, from the side, I don't know. A lot of critics saying it makes them look weak. I don't really think it makes them look weak. They knew that it was up there. They chose not to shoot it down because they didn't think that it was a danger at this point. It's just the idea that we were chatting about before that people can actually see it, right? If you couldn't see this, you wouldn't even know what's going on. This kind of espionage happens every day, right? It's just out of our public eye, so this gets a little bit more attention.
It kind of evokes the same paranoia that happened when when the Soviets launched the Sputnik satellite, right? Where you could suddenly see this dot across the sky. I wasn't alive for it.
Wasn't
but...
us.
Yeah,
John from Canada says you have to wonder what kind of spy balloon it is when everybody knows about it. That's kind of my other aspect too. Is in Katsuya making this point as well. It's the size of like three football fields, right? You're not hiding this. There's no cloaking this. It's going to be found.
It's a balloon,
right? So if it was meant to be a spy balloon, I don't know how great of an efficiency that was. But like, say, you know, plausible deniability. What I say as well, just like this wayward, you know, this possibility that, you know, it's a wayward balloon or it did become, you know, disabled and China just kind of couldn't bring it back. Just the idea of where it is flying over, you know what I mean? Also lends some credibility to what exactly is going on here. You know, flying over some pretty important military bases over the Pacific Northwest in Montana, some nuclear missile sites as well. So, you know, it feels like that doesn't accidentally happen with wind trajectory. You know,
it's an awfully specific wind.
Yeah, right. And it'll follow right in place all across the rest of the U.S. So, I don't know. It just, there's also that aspect to it, too, that just makes you think twice about what's going on. Exactly. But that's the thing with China, too, is are you ever going to know the actual truth, like from the horse's mouth?
Never.
The answer is no. Just an update, too, just following along, as I mentioned, a crash on the 417 eastbound at Nicholas. It is really backing traffic up right now. Just getting another text here saying firefighters are putting absorbent all the way down the highway. Just seeing this long line of cars from the traffic cameras here. CTV's Ted Raymond reporting one adult taken to hospital in stable condition. This is according to Ottawa paramedics. They were on the scene at 9:50, so this happening just before 10 this morning. But it has caused a huge impact on traffic. If you can avoid it, both exits at the Nicholas off-ramp eastbound at the 417 are currently blocked, closed right now. That is a headache if you're trying to get downtown. So best to try to skirt off somewhere. Doesn't even look like I mentioned trying to get to Lee's. You can't get to Lee's. You can't get to either of those off-ramps right now. So just be careful out there, but take note of that. You're going to have to try to find another way around if you're heading downtown right now. And speaking of the cold, Colleen texting, We were chatting about how cold is it, Mitch. Colleen texting says, plan to go out this morning at 8, not because I wanted to, but I came right back in as soon as I could not lock my door. Frozen, I guess. So much for that. I'll hibernate again today. Better tomorrow. Stay warm. Yeah, that would keep me home too. Well, fate's telling me to stay home today. It actually happened in the back of my apartment building too. Because I'm generally the only one that goes outside because I'll take the dog out a whole bunch. But it's a fairly big backyard, but I noticed that it wasn't locking last night either because of the cold. There's no way anybody can get in, just the way that the access point is. But it's so cold that mechanical locks aren't working. I thought we were 2023. Shouldn't we have this all figured out by now? Spy balloons. How to not have our locks freeze. Just reading some other texts here. Elaine says, just yesterday, the son of the Chinese balloon. Just yesterday, Pat Ryder from the Pentagon said confirmed it was maneuverable, indeed a spy balloon. Leave it to CSIS to act as an arm of the Chinese government and suggest it was floating freely in an accident that they were apologetic. Oh, Mr. Katsuya was not suggesting that. He laid out three possibilities, sir, to be fair to him. Even the science correspondent admitted they had intentionally stopped it over Milton, Montana, which, not ironically, one of their largest strategic bombing bases. Yeah, no, totally. And we were just kind of working off of three different possibilities here. And again, just with the Chinese government, you never possibly know. But this is highly regarded as a surveillance balloon, is the thought process right now. Yeah, so I don't think anybody's denying that.
I was joking about winds, but yeah, there's no winds that high either.
Good point.
Another listener called me on that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Not even jet streams, I don't think, yeah, at 60,000 feet.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
And it's somewhat maneuverable, but they're saying that it's also not maneuverable. They don't know for sure how maneuverable it is at this point. So that could mean that it lost maneuverability along some part of the way too, right? That's another possibility here.
I wouldn't buy that, though. I think it's an awfully specific course.
But if you're China too, at this point, just like, okay, let's bring it back. Let's just, I don't know, just blow it out over Miami. Let's just get rid of it.
Do you think the U.S. will send it back? Like if you hit your ball into your neighbor's yard?
Yeah. I think there might have to be some concessions on that front. When you think about it, though, just when you put it like that, it is kind of crazy. But, like, it is a huge international encroachment of international airspace,
yeah,
right? In terms of, like, defense mechanisms and things like that. Just, you know, what we're watching with Russia and Ukraine right now, it is maybe that's part of the reason why China was so quick on this, to be like, whoa, 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 hold on, guys. Before we go crazy here. Hear me out. Weather balloon. But yeah, just what a brazen kind of act on that point. So maybe that is why China, but that kind of adds to this story as well. Just over both countries, Canada and the U.S., but grabbing everybody's attention this week. Insane. Just, is this it feels like a 2023 story because it's so insane, but it also feels like, you know, a World War II story, right?
Yeah,
like the Cold War and Russia's got balloons flying over, and I don't even know what's going on in this world anymore. But anyway, on that's a segment for another day. 10:20 here. A reminder: two eastbound lanes, the off ramps at Nicholas on the 417 have been closed because of a crash there that happened just before 10 o'clock this morning. There's been one person taken to hospital in stable condition. Ottawa paramedics say because of that crash, but the traffic impact is continuing. Best to avoid that area if you can this morning. Take a quick break. When we come back, let you know about Winterlude. Events resuming this morning. Let you know about that if you're heading downtown coming up after the break. This is CFRA Live.
Join the conversation on CFRA Live with Andrew Pinsent. Text 580-580 right now.
So the first day of outdoor Winterlude activities wiped out on Friday. So we've seen some delays in opening for today, but it's still going ahead so far. Melanie Bro is the director of Capital Celebrations at Canadian Heritage, which includes Winterlude and Canada Day celebrations, and she joins us to chat about this morning. Melanie, good morning. I hope you're warm.
Good morning. I am, and I just want to say it's a gorgeous day in our nation's capital today.
That sunshine is going to be beautiful. As it comes
is.
Up. Bundle up if you are heading out today. But it sounds like, you know, with the delays this morning, a little bit of a delayed start, but everything's going to go off without a hitch.
Exactly. We had to make some pretty tough decisions yesterday, Andrew, but I think in the end, It's really about health and safety for the festival goers, the hundreds of volunteers that we have that help us out at Winterlude, but also the employees that make everything happen. So today, all of the outdoor activities will be getting underway. So we have the opening of Snowflake Kingdom, which will be at noon. So we've delayed it a little bit just to make sure that we've got a little bit warmer temperatures. I understand that the wind should be dying down by about noon, so it should be a little bit more manageable. Reminder that we have a huge refuge, like a heated, huge space. So families can take breaks in there throughout the day whenever they come to visit us at Snowflake Kingdom over at Jacques Cartier Park.
Definitely some good information. I know OC Transpo shuttles are starting at noon today as well. And also, in my understanding, we're going to see the launch of the National Ice Carving Championship this morning as well.
Exactly. So that's actually going to get started at 10 a.m. on Spark Street. These are ice carving pros who have experience of working in a very frigid temperature. So we've spoken with all of them, and they agreed to have the competition delayed to start this morning. So it's going to run from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. They'll be taking breaks throughout the day as well. And then they'll be resuming tomorrow, Sunday, from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. So it'll be finished at 2 p.m. And then at that point, we're going to be taking fabulous photos of all of the ice carvings. They're going to be put on our website so Canadians right across the country can actually vote for the top three. But coming to see them live and in person with the ice carving is just such a magical experience. And I know that the weather is supposed to warm up for tomorrow, so it would be a great experience to come out even on Sunday or later today as well, too.
And just that in-person aspect of it, just something you mentioned there, you know, it's been a few years since we've been able to kind of do this. Just for you, you know, how exciting is it to be able to get back and going here, you know, even if it is a day late?
As you mentioned, we've been away for the last 2 years, of course. We were doing virtual events, but to be back in person is just so phenomenal. And what's incredible this year is that it's the 45th edition of Winterlude. It just blows my mind, 45 years that Winterlude has been going on. And Winterlude runs right up until February 20th. So just want to make sure everybody knows we're here for the next 3 weekends. It includes the Family Day weekend, so the Monday in Ontario where folks are off. And there's stuff that's happening right across our national capital region in Gatineau, in Ottawa. We have tons of partners. And in fact, we even have lots of partners today that have activities indoors. So if I can just quickly mention, if you want to bring your family and stay warm, the RCMP Musical Ride Stables, they're inviting folks to come and meet the riders and pet their horses. And I did a sneak peek a little bit earlier this week, and those horses are gorgeous. So that's from 10 to 3 p.m. today. So that's a great indoor activity. Or you can even go retro roller disco blading at the Aberdeen Pavilion over at Lansdowne Park. And that's happening all weekend long. So take a look and get more information on our website.
Yeah, lots of selfie opportunities there with a horse and rollerblading as well. And just in terms of, is there anything new this year that people may not have anticipated after a couple of years of being at Winterlude?
Perhaps. Maybe I can mention quickly that tomorrow we actually have a Winterlude powwow. So we've coordinated this with a lot of our Indigenous partners, and this is going to be happening at the Museum of History, and it'll be running from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. So it's really an amazing opportunity to learn more about Indigenous culture, and there'll be lots of drumming, there'll be lots of dancers, and it's something that we invite Canadians and people in the local area to come and participate and enjoy and learn more.
Which always is a fun time, and especially, I don't know, it's just a feel around Winterlude. I know we don't have the canal open this year, but it definitely still feels great. I guess just the message for people heading out for today, it is cold, as we've mentioned. Is there any kind of tips out there to try to stay warm? You mentioned the refuge that is there.
Of course, yeah. And, you know, Winterlude is all about coming out and celebrating the joys of Canadian winter. And I giggle as I say it because, Mother Nature has really kept us on our toes lately. I can't stress enough for folks just to really dress appropriately, bundle up, make sure that you've got layers on, make sure to cover your face at least, today, Saturday, because it's still chilly. And, you know, if you're coming down to Spark Street or even in the Byward Market, there's lots of activities. The good news is that there's tons of restaurants. You can pop in, have a hot chocolate, a coffee, a tea, and warm up and get back outside. So try to do it in smaller spurts of time, maybe think 10, 15 minutes, and then try to warm up a little bit. But by tomorrow on Sunday, I think we'll be back to really good temperatures to come outside and really enjoy Winterlude.
Yeah, it definitely seems like it'll be good for the next few weeks as well. And running until February 20th, you mentioned, right?
Exactly, yes.
So you can find more information on Heritage Canada's website as well. But Melanie, thank you so much for the update this morning, and stay warm.
Thank you. And if I could just say to everybody, happy Winterlude.
And that's Melanie Bro with Heritage Canada letting us know about Winterlude resuming once again this morning. We'll take a quick break for the news. We'll be right back here on CFRA Live. I'm Andrew Pinson with you until 11 o'clock this morning.
On the go? Take News Talk 580 CFRA Ottawa with you. Download, listen, and learn through the iHeartRadio app. Now back to CFRA Live with Andrew Pinsent.
1037, welcome back. This is CFRA Live. I just wanted to note a power outage that's happening in Pembroke right now. Very cold morning to have the power out, but there's still about 2,500 customers without power. 11,000 have been restored. No word on what caused this at this point, but Pembroke, the coldest place in Ontario at 10 o'clock this morning, -28.2 degrees. So hopefully they can work to get power back on quickly. Right now, estimated to get lights back on at 12:45 this afternoon for the remaining customers in the Ottawa Valley. So just wanted to pass that along as well. Big tech companies that offer online streaming services could soon be required to contribute to Canadian content. It's a story that's been we've been following this week. The Senate passing the Online Streaming Act, known as Bill C-11, on Thursday with a dozen amendments following a study by senators. Canadian Heritage Minister Pablo Rodriguez says he hopes the House of Commons will pass the bill next week after it reviews the Senate changes. Michael Geist is the Canada Research Chair in Internet and E-Commerce Law at the University of Ottawa, and he joins us to chat about this morning. Michael, thanks so much for your time once again.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And we've seen, you know, lots of changes in our conversations over the course of, you know, years here now, I guess, at this point. But do you feel like the government has met the, I guess, balance here between Canadian content and what streamers are required to do?
Well, I don't think this bill strikes the right balance, and I think the bill raises a lot of risk, which is one of the reasons you've seen even some of the most notable Canadian authors like Senator David Adams Richards and today Margaret Atwood speaking out against the legislation. And, you know, I think actually the Senate did an exceptional job, and you don't hear that very often, but they really did do an exceptional job in reviewing this legislation. In fact, I think it's one of the most extensive reviews of any legislation they've ever conducted. And yet, perhaps most troublingly, is that Heritage Minister Pablo Rodriguez told an industry conference just this week that he wasn't interested in any amendments that actually made any changes. He said that if it had zero effect, then he might be open to it. But things that actually might improve the bill, that he wasn't interested in.
And just in terms of governance, let's leaving this issue aside, just what do you make of that kind of, I don't know, perspective on governance when you have so much input here and perspective and making such big changes?
Well, I can't begin to describe just how frustrating it is for a government to say that they are interested in crafting good legislation and getting stakeholders engaged. And then you basically see that at the end of that process, when so many do participate in good faith, the government basically says, well, we weren't really interested in what you had to say all along. And so I think there are elements in this legislation that are good. There are elements of the legislation that I think many, many stakeholders have raised real concerns with. And it's hard to understand why the government insists on saying, well, no, we've got this right, no matter what the former chair of the CRTC and independent senators and thousands of creators are saying. We're just going to march ahead and go ahead and do what we wanted to do really from the outset, really in many ways, I think, confirming some of the deepest concerns about what this legislation could mean.
And I want to ask you about, you know, some of your biggest concerns right now. The ones that I think I've been seeing the most are just, you know, Canadian and foreign streamers both be kind of treated differently in the world of content creation.
No, I mean, listen, that's clearly an element. In fact, actually, that's where we've seen some of the large creator groups express concerns. And on that issue, Pablo Rodriguez said, you know, you should be happy with, basically said, you should be happy with what you got. This is better than what it was before. And so it's an improvement, and let's just move on. But I think that the source where we've seen the greatest amount of concern, where we do see people, like literally to this morning, Margaret Atwood speaking out, has to do with regulating user content. It's not about the streamer side of the large streamer side of this. It's the fact that the way the bill was crafted when it came out of the House ensured that user content, videos posted to TikTok or YouTube, could be caught by this legislation. The Senate's tried to fix it. The big question now is this week whether or not the government will accept those amendments, which I should note still meet their objective of ensuring contributions from the large streaming services, treating music that appears, let's say, on a Spotify or a YouTube on an equal fashion, but also provides the safeguard that user content is out, which I have to say is what the government says is their intent. The problem is the bill, at least as they passed it through the House, didn't achieve it.
Just in terms of these measures here, it seems, you know, CanCon material even here in radio, for example, for long periods of time, there's a certain mandate on it. It feels like the government is just trying to perhaps copy and paste that into a world that does not exist anymore in the social media age.
I think that's right. And I think that's one of the real sources of the problems. Actually, I think when people like Atwood or Senator Richards talk about this, saying, you know, the government is going to decide what counts as Canadian, that's actually your point, is exactly where this stems from. We do have some rules that apply in the music world or film and television production. But what the government could effectively be doing here is extending this to TikTok videos or YouTube. And so then you get into the question, well, what's Canadian when something's posted to YouTube or TikTok? Is it that the person is Canadian? Is it where they're located? What happens if it's a podcast or a video where people are located in different places? I mean, the system just isn't designed for that. No country anywhere in the world seeks to regulate it this way. And yet that's exactly what we've got from the Heritage Minister Rodriguez.
And I know other governments have also grappled with this kind of issue. Is there a model you've seen that Canada should be looking to in terms of how it has taken its, take Canadian content or how it, produces it? How it streams it online or produces it.
Yeah, right. That's a great question. And in fact, the European model actually does distinguish between what might be seen as curated services versus non-curated services. So they say, listen, some services like Netflix certainly feel more like a conventional broadcaster. They decide what's on their platform. And so we can put in place rules that advance Canadian content or Canadian interests. But once you get into the platforms that don't control the content that's on their platforms, it's uploaded by users themselves. There isn't a system to identify what's going to be there, what's Canadian. That they say, those kinds of content-specific rules are out. That's not to say no rules apply. Of course rules apply. Hate speech, defamation, all of those things would and should continue to apply. But trying to get CanCon into the user content world, which no matter how many times the minister says otherwise, virtually every expert says absolutely the way the bill was crafted out of the House, it does. That nobody tries to do, and I think with good reason.
And from other corners, I'm also seeing some criticisms perhaps from more right-wing people as well. It's just in terms of the content space, just, you know, having the government perhaps have a say in this kind of, decision when it comes to content. Do you see any issue with that at all?
Well, there are concerns, and part of it stems from, well, once you say that this is in, what kind of regulations are you going to put in place? And so the kinds of regulations that are in place involve issues known as discoverability, the idea that the regulator, the CRTC, could effectively require these providers to prioritize or deprioritize certain kinds of content. So they'll say, listen, we want to ensure there's more Canadian content in people's feeds. You've got to find a way to do that, which could, of course, involve tweaking the algorithm to escalate Canadian content in people's feeds. The risks with that is that other kind of content may be deprioritized, and especially if you're a YouTuber, a TikToker, a digital-first creator in Canada, if you don't count as Canadian, because we come back to this question of what even counts as Canadian, suddenly you find yourself deprioritized even in your own country as a result of this legislation.
It's going to have a significant impact to your income as well. And just so we are expecting, you know, this to come to the House of Commons this week. We saw, you know, to the Liberals' credit, we did see them backtrack on some gun amendments this week. Do you think the Minister, Rodriguez, here, do you think we see these amendments go through? Do we think we see the changes in the House of Commons?
Well, you know, as someone who followed what took place in the Senate really closely, I think there was some amount of optimism that the Senate had tried to strike an appropriate balance, had met basically his conditions about what he was trying to achieve with the legislation. And so there was a sense that they'd done a good job. I have to say there was, you know, basically he popped that balloon at this conference this past week, really sort of hinting that, you know what, no, there's just not much interest in making any changes of substance at all to this legislation. One would hope, just as we saw with the gun registry, there's a backtracking. And in fact, there are some real parallels there. That gun legislation was moving towards passage until there were some amendments that captured people's attention and really troubled them. The exact same thing happened with respect to this legislation. It was at one point in time C-10 moving ahead. Suddenly the government made a change to capture user content, and suddenly you've had now for the better part of a year and a half, almost 2 years, a lot of concern and controversy associated with the government's attempt to do exactly that.
And the likes of Margaret Atwood, like you mentioned, and Senator David Adams Richards also speaking out as well. But Michael, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate this. We'll see what happens this week.
We will. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. Michael Geis is Canada Research Chair in Internet and E-commerce Law at the University of Ottawa, just chatting about those Senate amendments to C-11 passed this week. This was after some deep study. And just to Michael's point, as much as he was joking, we make jokes about the you know, the value of the Canadian Senate here. But, you know, taking this up and doing some good work on this. But the likes of Margaret Atwood, I saw this shared on Twitter yesterday. And actually, Margaret sharing Mr. Geist's comments on this on Twitter as well from his testimony in the House of Commons on this issue. So no doubt going away. We'll see if the government blinks on this one like they blinked on the gun legislation amendments this past week, 1047. This is CFRA Live. We're going to take a quick break. Looks like that accident just got cleared on the highway. Thank you, Mark, for that text. We had an accident on the 417 eastbound that was blocking exits at Nicholas. Looks like that has been cleared. One person taken to hospital in a crash there. But it looks like traffic has been cleared, so that's good news if you're heading downtown this morning, especially with Winterlude celebrations getting underway for the first time in nearly 2 years this morning. This is News Talk 580 CFRA. We'll be right back.
Listen anytime, anywhere, through your Apple CarPlay or Android Auto. Now, CFRA Live with Andrew Pinsent continues on News Talk 580 CFRA and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
10:52, welcome back. This is CFRA Live. A couple of stories to update you on this morning. And just a reminder as well with the cold temperatures that, you know, we are trying to stay warm at home, but just be careful in terms of fire prevention and safety. Ottawa firefighters responding to 3 fires overnight. ICTV's Ted Raymond reporting a family on Kittiwaki Drive in Stittsville escaped home barefoot early this morning after a fire broke out. Around 5:30, a second alarm called because of the cold. Family escaped in the backyard without any boots on, but couldn't make it around the front because of the flames. So firefighters were able to rescue them and began treating them for frostbite in one of the fire trucks that had arrived. Paramedics had 4 patients treated and released at the scene, some with minor smoke inhalation also treated. A couple of pets also rescued from the home. But just a reminder, oh, it is cold out there, to just be careful around our heating and our fire safety. Ted also reporting around 3:20 this morning, an alarm at Algonquin College on Navajo Drive and a residence there. But firefighters were able to extinguish this fire. Ottawa Fire reporting no injuries. Say students sheltered in a nearby campus while crews were working. Around 2 a.m., fire also reported in an apartment building on Daly Avenue. That's near the University of Ottawa. It's found in a bedroom, also quickly extinguished. Building evacuated, residents sheltered in an OC Transpo bus. Very cold. One person hurt in that fire as well. So just passing that along in a new story this morning. Just be careful. If you're out in the cold as well, be careful. Boy, it is cold out there because it is minus 38 right now. So that's why everybody is trying to stay warm. And tough right now in the Ottawa Valley as well. Hydro One crews working to reconnect thousands of customers without power in Pembroke and Cobden. Thousands without power around 9 o'clock this morning. I had no word on the cause of this outage. But I mentioned earlier, Pembroke, one of the coldest places in the province at 10 o'clock this morning. So crews working to get power back to more than 11,500 customers, about 2,500 still in the dark and in the cold on this Saturday morning. Earlier note, accident cleared at Nicholas Avenue, I should say, at the exit of the 417 eastbound, so that's been cleared up as well. And Winterlude celebrations will go on today. Most of those outdoor events, all of them, in fact, canceled yesterday because of the extreme cold. The National Ice Carving Competition Championship kicking off at 10 o'clock, kicking off this hour, so that's gone off. And Snowflake Kingdom and all the other events have been delayed till about noon. The OC Transpo bus shuttle as well transferred, canceled till about noon today, delayed. Try to let it warm up a little bit to allow people to enjoy that. Enjoy the cold weather somewhat, but Melanie Bro with Heritage Canada also mentioning they have a large refuge on site. You can go warm up for a little bit, get a hot chocolate, and then head back out as well. Get to some texts before we wrap up the show here at the top of the hour. It's been wonderful being with you so far this morning. But we've been chatting about Bill C-11 there, which I wanted to get to because there was a text here. Charles says, in my honest opinion, if the federal government wants to promote Canadian content, they need to put more money in the CBC. No one was complaining about it when Bob and Doug McKenzie were around. Charles from Centertown. I find that very interesting. That's a good point. It was, you know, responsible for a lot of the content. And you could say to a further extent, you know, CTV as well. Should mention Bell Media is a parent company of this radio station, as I say that. But no, what I find, I'm a CBC supporter in a general sense. What I don't like and what actually, if you read some of the nuts and bolts of this C-11 and some of the changes that were made in the Senate, I like the fact that the Senate has tried to put a kibosh on sponsored content on CBC, which I am okay with working in the private sector. I've never understood what bugs me about the CBC. You know, you get all the right-wing talking points about the political points, whatever. What's bugged me about the CBC as someone working in the private sector is that they can still advertise. So you're getting both, you know, funding from the federal government and you can advertise. That's, you know, it's taking money off of our dinner plate. And I've never understood that. The Bill C-11 does look to kind of curtail that. So I agree with that. But focusing more on some of the Canadian content, you know, CBC has made some good stuff, right? Kim's Convenience, making the jump as well to, you know, other streaming services after it was canceled by the CBC. But, you know, there has been some content there. And I kind of agree there. We get so saturated with the U.S. content that there does need to be something there to, you know, make sure that there is some uniquely identifying Canadian content there. You know, make sure our culture is protected, even if I am sounding like the Premier of Quebec right now. We have to keep Canadian culture protected. But no, I don't know. It just seems it's so easy and cheaper, right, for networks to allow U.S. content to kind of take over, right? So I think for Canadian creators, there just has to be that space with finding that balance. So when SCTV was on CBC, there was no commercials on CBC, Charles from Centertown. Is that true? I don't think so. Definitely allowed to sell ads more just in the online space as well, right? If you think about the reach that naturally the Canadian federal broadcaster has, right? It does have a great reach. So if you're buying ads, why not spend it all in one place where you can get everybody, right? That's what never has made sense to me, just on that aspect. Chris says, Bill C-11 equals back-to-back Beachcombers in the Forest Rangers show. I think I'd be okay with that. Throw in some Danger Bay. I don't know. We could get a lot of Canadian shows going on here. Anyway, we'll talk about that for sure again tomorrow. That's going to come up on our CFRA Live Sunday political panel as well. Warren Kinsella, Carl Belanger, and Tasha Carradine will join us tomorrow after the 8 o'clock news. As usual, we'll talk all things federal politics. It's going to do it for us today. Thanks so much to producers Stephen Ellsworth and Mitch Kudrowski for everything that you've heard today. Until next time, Ottawa, 6 a.m. tomorrow. Be well. Stay safe.